Now, when we sin and we feel the presence of God pull away from us, we should be weeping like Jesus. One of the Gospels described that blood droplets fell from his forehead.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Keeping Watch and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
So today's sermon is going to be Keeping Watch. And this is important because I'm going to tell you about some things that we need to watch for, including myself, every Christian needs to watch out for these things. So if we could please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Today's scripture is going to be 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. And I'm changing things up a little bit just for the day. I'm going to read out the King James 2000 version. It's a little bit lighter version of the actual King James. It gets rid of some of the Shakespearean wording. But you watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fully carry out your ministry. Holy Father, we come to you today, and we pray, God, that you will open our hearts, God. We pray that you will give us revelation of your word, and let us live your word when we leave here, God, and touch others with it. In the name of Jesus, we pray and give thanks. Amen. You may be seated. All right, keeping watch. What do I mean by keeping watch? Well, you know, you have an enemy out there, and his name is Satan. And he is trying to do things in your life that are against the will of God. He's trying to actually get you to do things in your life that is out of the will of God. Because he knows that when he can get you out of the will of God, he's got you separated. He's got you separated. And once he's got you separated, he can move in for the kill. Jesus says that he is a liar and he is a thief and he is a murderer. So what does that mean to us? It means that he is going to start his attack with a lie. He's going to try to deceive you. He'll try to deceive you about everything good in your life. Not just your family, not just your job, not just your friends, not just your loved ones. But first and foremost, he's going to try to deceive you about God. He's going to try to deceive you about church. He's going to try to deceive you about what God desires in your life. And he does this very subtly. A lot of us think, well, I'm going to see him coming. And I'll head him off at the pass because I'm smarter than him. Well, the devil was around when God made mankind. The devil was around when creation came forth. He was one of the mightiest of all the angels. He's not stupid. He's very crafty. And only through the Holy Spirit do we stand a chance against Satan. And this is why when we try to do it on our own strength, people tell me, James, I'm trying to break an addiction, but I can't let go of it. I am trying to say no to something, but I can't do it. That's because you need the Spirit of God inside you to defeat the spirit of evil that's coming up against you. You need to fall to your knees and start praying for God's will. So that brings me to point number one. Watch your will. Listen to this. This is really important because we all have free will, right? We all have free will. We like to boast about it. Somebody try to tell you what to do. You will say to them, I don't have to listen to you. Somebody out there hear me? We say that, don't we? Who are you to tell me what to do? And even if you don't speak it to that person when they're trying to give you some advice, you say it in your heart. I don't have to listen to them. Watch your will. Listen in Mark chapter 3, verse 35. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Watch your will. Because listen, Doing God's will intimately connects you to Christ. Intimately connects you to Christ. Let me clarify this. You go out and disobey the word of God and you fall into a practice of sin and you start committing sins. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to feel the peace of Jesus Christ leave you because you are grieving the Holy Spirit. Because there is nobody in here that can tell me that if somebody did something against them, whether it be your brother, your mother, your sister, or your best friend, if somebody did something that hurt you, you'd pull away from them. Now, I'm not saying you lose your salvation. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that you're still going to love that person and you're still going to be there for that person that hurt you. But you're not going to be intimately connected. You're going to be kind of sore at them. You're going to be kind of offended. You're going to be a little standoffish. You're going to pull away a little bit. The holy presence of God cannot stand in the presence of sin. God is pure and righteous and perfect. And when one of his children get into the field of sin, God's presence, the feeling of it withdraws because he's letting you know that you're out of sync with him. That's why Jesus says that you must do the will of the Father. Jesus did the will of the Father. Jesus did not do his own will. Jesus said, I can only do what the Father, what the Son sees the Father doing. Guess what? Jesus never once saw the Father sin. So therefore, Jesus wasn't going to sin. He could only do what he saw the Father doing. Jesus followed God. And we're to follow Christ because we know where he's going to the Father. Amen? So we got to watch our will. However, many Christians pray with the focus on their own will. God, bless me with this. God, let me get away with that. And I don't mean to ridicule anybody, but we do have selfish prayers. I'm guilty of this from time to time. I'll find myself praying instead of praising. I'll find myself selfishly asking instead of selflessly seeking. Instead of asking God, what would you do in this situation? I'm asking God what I should do in this situation. Does that make any sense? There's a bumper sticker that says, what would Jesus do? Well, there's some truth in that. I mean, we should be asking God, you know, what are you doing in this situation? What do you want to do through me? Okay? Not what can I do to get away with something I want in my life. Some people say, well, I want to have this particular thing in my life happen. But maybe that's not what God wants for you because he sees around the corners of life that you can only see two. You don't have the peripheral vision that God has where he can see everything in your life laid out before him. So we need to pray. Listen, Jesus prayed for God's will in Matthew 26:39, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Now, listen, this is Christ praying. And this was in the garden. He was about to be arrested. And listen, he wasn't looking forward to being beaten, to being stripped naked, and to be nailed onto a cross and then ridiculed and spit on. He wasn't looking forward to that. But you want to know what the cup was? Listen, when Jesus was crucified for our sins, he took on the sins of the world. And on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? God did not forsake Jesus. That was a question, not a statement. But the presence of God pulled away from Christ in that moment. And for the first time in all eternity, Jesus was separated from the presence of God. And that's what he was struggling. That's what he was struggling for. He did not want to be separated from the presence of God. Now listen to the love of this. You got Christ praying that he does not endure the suffering of losing the fellowship, the feeling of the presence of God. And it shames me because sometimes I don't even feel like reading my Bible because the flesh does not want the things of the Spirit. Sometimes I have to force feed myself and I'm the pastor. But see, if I stand up here and act like I'm perfect, then you're going to be believing something that's not true. And you're going to know that I'm a liar. But Jesus was praying that the cup would pass over him. But he knew that he had to die and take on the sins of the world so that we could fellowship with him. He wanted us so bad that he endured this pain and suffering. You see, some of you think, wow, James, I thought it was just a physical suffering that he went through. Jesus spiritually suffered for us. He was to be separated. And that's what I mean. When we get into sin, the presence of God pulls away from us and we lose that fellowship. And Jesus, he wasn't going to sin. But you see, the sins of the world was laid upon him and the presence of God withdrew. The fellowship feeling was gone. And it was agonizing. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, when we sin and we feel the presence of God pull away from us, we should be weeping like Jesus. One of the Gospels described that blood droplets fell from his forehead. The first time I read that, I didn't understand how could somebody sweat blood. Were they literally meaning that he was sweating blood? And then I read something. It's funny how God brings things to your attention. But I want to give you an idea of how he agonized over this. One of the Gospels said that Jesus was sweating blood. And it turns out that a person could become so stressed over something, so concerned over something, that the capillaries under the skin surface can burst and you can literally sweat blood out of your forehead. I did not know that. And one of the Gospels says that Jesus actually sweat blood droplets. This is how he agonized over this. He prayed three times to the Father. He prayed three times, agonizing over the separation. But you know what? He came back and he said, not my will, your will. As bad as he knew it was going to be, he still prayed for God's will. And some of us won't even pray for God's will when we apply for a job. We won't even say, Lord, I want this job and I know that I need this job, but if it be your will, don't let me have it. Now, you might think, well, that's crazy, James. Why would you do that? Because I have gotten employment where I should not have been at and did not pray for God's will. I have been in positions that I thought I wanted something and did not pray for God's will, and I got it. And sometimes you pray for things that you shouldn't have, and you get them, and you wish you didn't pray for them. Oh, God, what did I pray for that for? Sometimes you can make things happen on your own. Sometimes God will say, no, you can't have that. And you'll go out and get it anyways. And then you wish you didn't take it. Amen? Watch your will. Watch your will. Watch the things that you will into your life. Okay, so secondly, watch your way. Watch your way. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So, in what way should we go? Anybody have any ideas of in what way we should go? Listen what John 14:23 says. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, his commandments. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode or our home with him. I want you guys to think about this scripture. If a man loves me, he'll keep my word. If you love God, you'll do what God asks you to do. Not because you're a robot, not because you want something out of him, but because you love him. We take care of those that we love, don't we? Come on. We give our children things that we don't really think they should have. Well, basically what they don't need. We kind of spoil our kids when we can, don't we? We give them stuff that they don't really need because we love them, right? We do things. Daddy, can I have this? We don't really need it, but yeah, go ahead. Mom, can I have an advance on my allowance? Well, I just gave you. Oh, go ahead. I love you. I want you to have a good time. But listen, if we love God, he's only asking us to keep his word. And his word is good for us. His word is good for us. This isn't for his benefit alone. It's for ours too. Why do you think God wants you to keep his commandments? Because it keeps you healthy. It keeps you fit. It takes care of you. When you apply the word of God to your life, you're blessed. And God rejoices when you're blessed. That's why he gave us the word. Amen? Somebody hearing what I'm saying? This is for your benefit. And when you're blessed, God is blessed because he loves you. Come on, when your children are doing good, you're happy, aren't you? What parent in here wants their child to do bad in life? None of you, do you? Well, God doesn't want us either. And how many of us in here who are parents wish our kids would listen to us all the time? All of us, don't we? We got some hands in the back. Yeah. And if they would listen to us, things would be better for them, wouldn't they? Because we got some good parents in here, don't we? And we got some good kids. But we also have kids that don't listen, don't we? I know I got one. I love you. Calling you out. He's a good kid, but he doesn't always listen to me. It doesn't mean that he's bad. It just means that he goes astray. He wants to do his thing. We're the same way, aren't we? We want to do our thing. God's way produces love. Listen to this. When you go God's way, it produces love, joy, and peace. We become effective witnesses when we follow his ways. You want to get somebody in the church? Be a witness for Christ. Watch your words. James chapter 3, verse 2. This is important. I spend a little more time on this one because words are powerful. Words are powerful. You're hearing words right now. The word of God, the word of God is powerful. Listen to this. James chapter 3, verse 2. For in many things we all offend. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Some people are careless with talk. They discourage, they depress people, and they destroy with critical, cynical, cutting words. Kind words glorify God and bring blessing, confidence, and healing to others. Now let me clarify something. When we start talking about something we heard about another person, whether it be true or not, we're hurting somebody. Even if you heard something true about somebody, you shouldn't go around spreading it. Right? It's really nobody else's business in most cases. We shouldn't discourage people when they come up with a dream just because it's something you wouldn't do. We shouldn't come up with negatives. We shouldn't be critical of people. We shouldn't bring people down when they're hurting. We shouldn't be cynical. No kind words to people. To people that we may not even in our hearts believe deserve it. We should still be good and kind to them and not say what we believe about them. Sometimes we get angry with people and we use words because we made up our mind about this person. And then when we get angry, then the truth of how we feel starts spilling out of our mouths and we start cutting that person. Amen? Do you follow what I'm saying? We can't do that. I'm not saying anybody in here does this. I'm saying we can't do that. So listen in James verse 3, 5 and 10. And I think this is very important because words are powerful. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Talking about your tongue now. Behold how great a forest a little fire kindles. You can take a whole forest down with a little spark, can't you? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. With this bless we God, even the Father, and with this curse we men, who are made after the similitude of God. Listen to this. We'll sit there and say, I love you, God, and praise and worship in church, then leave here, and then we're capable of cursing the image of God. cursing another human being, cussing them out, saying bad things about them. And this is the image of God. Look at your neighbor. Everybody look at your neighbor. You know what? God made them. We're made in the image of God. And when we curse one another, we're cursing the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. We're not to be doing this. Words are powerful. We have to watch our words. We have to watch how we encourage people and how we discourage people. We can't be doing that. When we get angry at our loved one or anybody, we don't start calling names. We don't start pointing at negative. Oh, you always do that. You always say that. Man, I knew you were going to. Man, you know what you are? Some people need tape around their mouth when they get mad. They say some ugly things. They start screaming and shouting and pulling out faults of the other person and just cutting that person down the side. Because you know what? I believe people who do that, they're insecure. I think that they have to say those things about another human being to lift themselves up. But you know what they're really doing? They're bringing themselves down. When you shout and you scream and you treat somebody else like a dog, God is looking down at you. And he's thinking to himself, man, you're condemning somebody. You know, the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. You know what the actual word in the Greek means? Condemn not. Condemn. The actual word judgment is condemn. Okay? I mean, you can judge other people, obviously. You see somebody out there doing something they're not supposed to do. That's a judgment call. But the actual word in the Greek means condemn. You walk around with your mouth condemning people. Now, Jesus says, by the same standards that you use, you yourself will be condemned. Now, listen to this. This is important. You go around, start condemning people with your mouth. I guarantee you, because of your behavior, someone's going to catch you. Someone's going to see you. That mouth's going to catch up with you one of these days because you reap what you sow. And I've seen it over and over again. People don't believe me. But the Bible teaches that. By the same measures that you condemn others, you yourself will be condemned. And did you know that every person, Christians alike, are going to stand in the front of the judgment seat? And we're going to have to take account for every word and deed. Every word. You don't think that God is listening to everything you're saying? And he don't forget. And there's rewards to be had in heaven. And I don't want to lose anything that the Lord has for me because of my stupid words. Words are very powerful. With a word, God said, let there be light. Why do you think we're the only animal that speaks? Well, I know a parrot can repeat things, but he's not really speaking. He's only mimicking a sound to him. He doesn't know what the word means. Polly wants a cracker. He doesn't know what that means, right? But we speak in languages. And people who don't even have vocal boxes, you know, they can't talk, you know, they can do sign language. Or they can write. We have the ability to communicate in such a way that no animal can compete. And God has given that as a gift, not as a means to curse other people. So watch what comes out of your mouths. And don't think that this is just for people who scream and shout obscenities when they get angry. This is for our attitude when we speak to people as well. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes people need you to talk to them and listen to them and not be critical of what's going on in their life. They have a problem and they don't want to be condemned for it. They want to be loved and told that everything is going to be okay and that you're by their side. They want kind words. Amen? So our words can build people up, but they can also tear people down. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Only with the help of God can we control our tongues. Now see, I told you what we needed to do. Now I'm going to tell you how to do it. Psalm 141:3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Okay, so listen to this, and I'm almost done here. Watch your works. I'm not talking about your job, which is very important. Your livelihood's important. 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's field. You are God's building. The work that God requires believers is this. Did you know that you guys have a job? Listen to what Jesus says. John 6:29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he has sent. There's your job. Now see, works in general don't get you to heaven. But Jesus said that the work you got cut out for you is belief. That's an easy job. All I got to do is believe in Jesus, and I'm in the club. Now, don't you wish that you could go to the coolest place on the planet and say you know somebody and they just let you in? When you pass away or Jesus comes back, whichever comes first, you know Jesus. You got carte blanche. You got the pass to get into the Father's house. What'd you do to get in here? I've been a good person my whole life. They're not letting me in. Oh, I believed. But I did all this work over here. I gave the charity. I helped out friends. Yeah, they're like filthy rags to God. Nope, I believed. Well, you had it easy. You mean I did all this work for nothing? Yep. But see, when you believe on Jesus, you're going to produce good works. Because you're going to be in so much love with Jesus that it's going to spill out of your life onto others. Why do you think my wife and I started this church? It was a get-rich scheme. Not, believe me, you, it wasn't. We love Jesus. I told my wife this morning, I said, listen, if one person comes to Jesus because of this church, it was worth everything that we did. If one person shows up to church today, I told her, it's worth opening the doors and paying all the bills and doing all the work that it takes to run this place. It was worth it. Because Jesus said that he'll leave the other 99 sheep and go look for the lost one. You're precious to him. And I love Jesus so much that I want to love you. Because that love spills out from Jesus. And I do. You guys have no idea how much I love you guys.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.